Welcome to the Bishop Strickland Hour. It's Tuesday, March 6th. Got a great gospel, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, verse 17 to 19. Oh, it's Wednesday. Thank you for correcting me. You know, God uses the weak to confound the strong. And Bishop Strickland, I'm exhibit A, because I'm so, I really am, man. But you know what? Thank you, Jesus, for allowing me to work in this field of the vineyard of the Lord. I know he could pick a much better and smarter man, but I really am convinced he uses the weak to confound the strong. And I'm that way. I'm as weak as they come. Bishop Strickland, before we have the gospel, I'd like you to lead us in prayer, please.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Almighty God, we thank you for all the blessings that you offer us each day. We thank you for this continuing Lenten journey as we are praying this third week of the Lenten season. Help us to open our hearts more and more to the truth of who you call us to be, to repentance of our sins, and to seek ways to live charity more deeply. Help us to be strengthened in the witness and the example of the saints and those saintly ones around us who inspire us each day. And help us to know the strength of the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, to continue to do our best to listen to your Son and be guided in his light. And we ask this in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Well, God bless you. All right, let's read. Let's have Bishop Strickland teach us from Matthew chapter 5, verse 17 to 19. Please, Bishop Strickland, if you could read the gospel for us.
Okay.
So that's chapter 5, verse 17 to 19.
The Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. Amen, I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or the smallest part of a letter will pass from the law until all things have taken place. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teacheth others to do so will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever obeys and teaches these commandments will be called greatest in the kingdom of heaven." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Bishop Strickland, is he talking about the Ten Commandments?
The Ten Commandments and all the yeah. teachings of the law we inherit from the Old Testament, the Hebrew Scriptures.
Yeah.
What Christ says, he says he came to fulfill the law.
Right.
And of course, he is the law. He is the new covenant.
Exactly.
Christ is the heart of it all. Mm-hmm. He is truth incarnate, like we've talked about. And really, Terry, I think this gospel passage is the gospel passage for our time, for this Lenten season, for this year, 2024. Mm-hmm. We need to read this gospel and understand what Christ is saying.
Yeah.
Because we're hearing from many in the church and from many in the world, oh, the laws are changing. The truth has changed.
Oh, geez.
The commandments need to be adjusted to fit the great mind of the 21st century. And all those 20 centuries before us, they just didn't have it right. We will finally awaken to what the truth is that the church needs to proclaim. That's simply, again, Terry,
rubbish.
Not what Jesus says in this passage. He says, not the smallest letter of the smallest part of a letter will pass from the law.
Mm-hmm.
That's beautifully, he talks about his own language.
Right.
Different than English, we might say, what does he mean, a small part of a letter? Well, I guess the closest we would have is the dot over a lowercase I, mm-hmm. or the cross of a T.
Right.
Those would be equivalent to, from what I understand, the jots and tittle. Mm-hmm. That's what that is speaking of, is the tiniest parts of the law. Mm-hmm. Christ is telling us that these things do not change. And we're being told by many in the church with great pride, really. Many are saying, finally, the church is changing her teaching. And isn't this wonderful? But the church, the bride of Christ, is called to look to Christ himself and to look to what he says. And he says at the end of this gospel passage, if it wasn't strong enough already, the law is not going to change. Not the smallest part of a letter will pass from the law until all things have taken place. Oh. But then he goes on to say, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do so will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. We need to really pray about and understand what is Christ saying, because we see it happening,
yeah,
in the world today and in the church. The attempt to say, oh, the commandments have changed, the law has changed, we didn't understand the scriptures,
yeah,
we've misinterpreted. One thing for those who believe that message, which I think it's very dangerous, but because it contradicts Jesus Christ, but many are believing it anyway.
Yeah.
But one test I would give is it making the gospel, is it making living the way of Jesus Christ more challenging or easier? And to me, I think we need to ask ourselves, the death of Christ was not easy. He died on the cross in the scourging at the pillar. All of his suffering was excruciating. It was devastating for him in his human body. God and man, he suffered deeply. And so I mention that because, I mean, in the Lenten season, at the end of Lent, Holy Week, we will remember the Passion of the Lord. Many people are praying the Stations of the Cross during this Lenten season, which is beautiful. We need to be aware how deep his suffering was. And what, to me, that illustrates is how important the truth is that he's proclaiming.
Yeah.
And to determine that, oh, we've misunderstood for 2,000 years and we've got a better understanding. The fact that it's easier, to me, diminishes and casts a shadow on the tremendous loving sacrifice of Christ that we need to be very careful about. And I think that in a sense, that's what he's telling us. Those who teach these commandments have been changed and teach others to follow this pathway, will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. I think that's very significant. And yes, I think we all have to pay attention to that, whatever our role in the church. For me as a bishop, I, with fear and trembling, pay attention to these words from the gospel, from the lips of Christ himself. And people can try to explain it away, but instead of explaining it away, I think we need to just in humility embrace it and say, let us live the commandments. I'm reminded again, I mentioned it recently, but it keeps coming back to me in the book of Revelation, where it describes Satan going after the woman.
Yeah.
We know is an image of the Blessed Virgin Mary.
Yeah.
Satan goes after the woman, but he fails. And so he turns to her children who are living the commandments and keeping the path of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what's happening. Satan is going after those who know what Christ said is true, that his commandments, his truth, doesn't change. He didn't come to change the law. He came to fulfill it and to help us understand more deeply the great challenge that we face, the wondrous mercy that's always there. But we better pay attention to what Christ said and call the church and her leaders and every leader of whatever capacity, in nations or wherever, leaders of families. All of us need to listen to this gospel and be challenged to return to the commandments and to the truth and look for any ways in our human arrogance we have decided to change it.
Wow. Bishop Strickland, well said. I just wanted to bring something up again. When we come back, Cardinal Foley back in 1996, he said that scandal is one of the biggest obstacles in evangelization. In other words, we're out of our lane when we get the scandal. When we come back, we'll talk more about that and much more. Stay with us, family.
And now back to the Bishop Strickland Hour.
Indeed. Terry Barber here for Virgin Most Powerful Radio. I gave a little teaser. I said Rome instructed a bishop to bless a celebrity couple because of fiducio supplicans. Meaning, in other words, they asked the nuncio and said, should we do this? And the answer was, absolutely. So let me set the stage. And then Bishop Strickland, to me as a layman, we've got to have clarity here. Father Francisco Gordeliana blessed a Uruguayan television personality. He's an 82-year-old named Carlos Percival and his 47-year-old partner, Jimmy Castillo, at a party with 400 guests. The couple publicly advertised it as the first Catholic religious wedding of its kind. Okay, so they're advertising that this is going to be a Catholic wedding. They're obviously misled, but and then the priest says this is just scandalous. He says to these two men, as you are both children of God, absolutely they're children of God. But here's what he says, and have asked for a blessing from God, our Father, it is with pleasure that we are present on behalf of the church to ask that he bless you. Father Gordeliana declared in the presence of the homosexual couple, and the media was there to promote it, noting that the service was that of a blessing, not a wedding. The priest went on to assure both of them that God is with you and that we know very well that you are also with God because we have spoken intimately with our bishop and he has seen your faith. Now, these two men are into astrology because they talk about Zoros and all these, you know, weird things. And then we're confirming, he said, we've spoken to you about your faith. He said, he placed his hands on the head of the man saying, Carlos, may God keep you and bless you and lead you along the path of peace and love and help you to grow in dedication to your brothers and in love that you have to give them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He said, we were informed that the blessing had to be given since there are documents signed by the Pope that said this has to happen. Now, Bishop Strickland, give me a break, okay? And I mean, as a layman, when I hear that they call the nuncio to say, should we do this? And they said, of course. I mean, it's almost like, is this for real? Is this microphone really on? And here's my point. It seems like it's getting worse every day. We're hearing these things coming out of the Holy See. As a retired bishop now, when you hear things like that, what's your response?
Well, really, Terry, it basically is the same response as it was when fiducia supplicans first was issued. Just say no.
Yeah.
No, we're not going to do this.
Yeah.
No, read the gospel that we just talked about.
Right.
This Wednesday of the Lenten journey.
Yeah.
The commandments don't change. Nope. The law doesn't change. The truth doesn't change. Yes, we deepen our understanding. Mm-hmm. And Christ says he came to fulfill the law, not to destroy it or to change it. This is, it just has to be acknowledged as an attempt by the highest levels of the Vatican to say, oh, well, we've changed the law. The commandments have changed. It can be a practice of those individuals, if they make that choice, God is still allowing them to exercise their free will.
Yeah.
But it's not changing the Catholic faith.
Nope, can't.
And it's not changing the truth.
Amen.
And even, I mean, again, Terry, I know I've talked about it before, but Galatians chapter 1, where St. Paul says, even if an angel from heaven comes and tells you, we've got new laws, the truth has changed, it's a new gospel, let them be anathema.
Yep.
And I would, quoting St. Paul and applying it to exactly this situation, let this be anathema. Another translation of that says, let them be accursed. That's pretty strong, but that's St. Paul saying, if you pretend to say that the truth has changed, let that person be anathema. So I'm with Paul because he's with Christ,
yeah. And
Jesus Christ is truth incarnate. As you said, Terry, it is getting worse, pushing more and more, playing word games and pretending. No one can honestly say that this isn't intending to bless sin. 2 years ago, the church very clearly said, with the same questions being raised, we can't bless sin.
Yeah.
Sadly, some are choosing to backpedal on that and say, oh no, 2 years later, the truth has changed.
Yeah.
They're wrong. They will be eternally wrong. And we've got to stay with Christ and with his truth, no matter how many examples. And really, Terry, it can sweep across the world, and virtually every cathedral in the church can say, oh, we're doing this, and isn't it wonderful? We're being led by the Vatican to bless these sinners. It's still wrong. And we have to stand strong in the truth. We have to believe that the truth will prevail.
Yep.
And that these false messages in the church, I mean, it's tragic
that
they're coming from the church herself.
Yeah.
But if the church is proclaiming things that are not true to Jesus Christ,
right. Then
it's not Christ that needs to be corrected.
That's right.
It's the church. We're all human beings.
Yes.
And as I'm sure I've mentioned before, when it comes to obedience, St. Thomas Aquinas gives us a good, simple but profound explication of obedience. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, obedience is to God and to the divine law and the commandments and the truth revealed by his Son, who is truth incarnate.
Yeah.
So Jesus Christ is the one we have to be obedient to. His church, the truth of his church, will be obedient to him. But that's not a guarantee that every individual is always going to be obedient. I can't worry about every individual. Ultimately, I have to worry about my own choices. And I choose Christ. I choose his church,
yes. And
I choose to reject any message that has come along in the past 10, 20 years that says the church is changing her teaching.
Yeah.
That is wrong according to scripture.
Yep.
Wrong according to everything the church says.
Yep.
Church can't change her teaching because she represents Jesus Christ,
yes. Who
is truth incarnate.
Yes.
Christ is not going to morph into some other being suddenly. no matter how much others may wish that that would happen.
Yeah.
And that Christ, the one who spoke in the gospel, oh, well, we've misinterpreted all that, or this has been quoted wrongly. That's not what's guided the church for 2,000 years. I'm going to stick to Christ, to the tradition of the church, to the inerrancy of Scripture, and to the truth that she gloriously proclaims, and know that that truth is what will prevail once you and I have passed from this life.
Yes.
And we are obligated, as is everyone, to do our best to stand with the unchanging truth that is Jesus Christ, truth incarnate.
Wow. You know, Bishop Strickland, years ago, I saw a YouTube video of you sharing the gospel with your brother bishops at a bishops meeting. And it was regarding Cardinal McCarrick's situation and saying, who else knew about what was going on? Let's investigate this for transparency for our flock. And you challenged the bishops and nothing ever happened. Okay. Meaning they just kind of poo-pooed it and said, well, that's Strickland, you know. I mean, that's my interpretation of what happened. Now, I just read your letter that's coming out actually tomorrow, but when this is broadcast next week, it'll be out on the internet. I'm going to ask you right on the air, can we read this letter short? But it's, again, you as a bishop to your brother bishops, you're calling them to fidelity to the perennial teachings of the church. And I love when you talk about the inerrancy of Scripture, and I'm just going to ask, can we read this letter, or do you prefer to wait to another time?
No, I'm glad to read it because, like you said, it's already will have been posted.
Yeah.
On it, and let me talk about that.
Yeah, let's
go. I specifically chose to post this letter on February 29th.
Mm-hmm.
We don't.
Why is
every
that?
Year does. Have a February 29th.
That's right.
And I thought that's a unique day that, and this is, again, this isn't my truth that I'm encouraging bishops to live by.
Mm-hmm.
It's not my opinion. It's simply what the church calls us to as bishops. So I'm glad to read it and encourage people to visit my website,
bishopstrickland.com.
Or any place else to see it in print.
Oh, yeah. We're going to put it on our website as of tomorrow. I won't, you know, we'll wait until you get it printed. But you start off by saying, dear brother bishops, could you read it? Because it is a short but powerful.
Sure. My dear brother bishops, I am compelled to speak to all of my brother bishops around the world, including Pope Francis, Bishop of Rome. In many ways, I am the least among you. But I share with you the anointing as a successor of the apostles and the call to guard the deposit of faith. And I speak to you in this spirit. I beseech you, let us return to Christ and his way. And let us be bold, like our predecessors from the first, second, and third centuries, many of whom followed the Lord to death, bearing heavy crosses in his name. Let us stand with our brothers, who in the 20th century were strong enough to speak against despotic rulers, even though they were a minority voice in their time. Let us in the 21st century be vigorous in knowing and proclaiming Jesus Christ is the light of the world and the Lord of truth. Let us proclaim with deep conviction the fullness of the message of Jesus Christ, and resist any temptation to share only the portion of his truth that the world accepts in order to avoid the ire of a world that still hates him.
Mm.
Let us speak with full-throated support.
Oh, I love this. The
inerrancy of sacred scripture.
Amen.
And proclaim that it is truly God's word, revealed to us and imparted to us as a sacred treasure that leads us from darkness into light. Let us share the glorious good news that Jesus Christ is the sacred word incarnate, and that reverence for his word is reverence for his real and sacred presence among us, just as he promised.
Let's break for a quick break, and we'll continue with this letter from Bishop Strickland to his brother Bishop. Stay with us, family. We'll be right back.
And now back to the Bishop Strickland Hour.
Welcome back to the Bishop Strickland Hour. Bishop Strickland is letting out a letter tomorrow, but it'll be when we broadcast. It'll be out for on his website. It'll be on our website also, to his brother bishops, including the Holy Father. Bishop Strickland, you're in the middle of reading it. Please continue.
I'll return to the
yeah, let us speak with
paragraph.
Full throat. Yeah, I like that.
Middle of.
Go ahead.
Let us speak with full-throated support. Mm-hmm. The inerrancy of sacred scripture, and proclaim that it is truly God's word, mm-hmm. revealed to us and imparted to us as a sacred treasure that leads us from darkness into light. Let us share the glorious good news that Jesus Christ is the sacred word incarnate, and that reverence for his word is reverence for his real and sacred presence among us, just as he promised. Let us call for a worldwide Eucharistic revival that proclaims with tidings of great joy that Jesus Christ is truly present, body and blood, soul and divinity, in the Holy Eucharist at every Mass, in every tabernacle, and at every altar of Eucharistic adoration. Let us teach our flocks that all the sacraments are Jesus Christ present and working among us, calling us to repentance, healing, and peace, and strengthening us with sanctifying grace so that we may reach out to the poor, the marginalized, and the despised to share the good news. Let us boldly adhere to our ancient faith that Jesus Christ is the only way, truth, and life, sent to us by our Heavenly Father. Let us call the world to the one Lord, one faith, and one baptism, which guides us through his one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church to eternal life with God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Brothers, let us be strong and clear regarding all the teachings of our Catholic faith, which speak of the sanctity of life from conception to natural death. The Bride of Christ proclaims the truth that God has created us male and female. The Church, the mystical body of Christ, proclaims the truth that marriage is a sacred bond between one man and one woman, committed for life and open to children, and that this model ordained by God will guide humanity until the end of time.
Amen.
Let us pledge never to leave those caught in sexual sin of any kind to wander in the darkness of a sinful lifestyle. Let us be the church that welcomes all, but never abandons any to sin and the dark ways of the world. Let us open wide the doors of Christ's church and welcome all to the sacred path of grace and life, teaching that the sacrificial love that Christ models for us is the only real love. My brothers, may our calling to shepherd and feed the Lord's flock never fall prey to compromise with a world which attempts to diminish the force and vigor of the gospel and to render our faith irrelevant and empty. Christ has called us to be in the world, but not of the world. Let us resist the currents of our time, which seek to create a world in our image and to eliminate God from his place at the center of creation. Let us resist the voices that too often come even from within the church herself, calling us to abandon the truth that Jesus Christ proclaimed, and instead seek to twist, alter, and update this truth until it is unrecognizable and no longer rooted in reality. We must recognize that we stand at a precipice of devastation, the likes of which the world has never seen. Let us open our eyes to the evil forces that bring division and darkness. even as they claim to offer a new way for humanity. Let us have the audacity to say no to these trends that seek to erase God and to annihilate our God-given right to choose right from wrong in personal freedom and autonomy. Let us simply say no to the voices that whisper for the dethronement of God and seek to install a global state in his place. My brothers, all things are possible with God, and his mercy is always focused on granting us new opportunities to turn from darkness to light. It is not too late, but the time is short for us to do our job. Let us together take up the mantle we received at our Episcopal consecration and proclaim Jesus Christ anew. Let us be shepherds. Bishop Joseph E. Strickland, Emeritus of the Diocese of Tyler.
Wow, Bishop Strickland, that is a very beautiful letter. It shows your love for your brother bishops, but it shows even more love for the flock that they're entrusted to. And can I just ask, by memory, do you remember when you were ordained a bishop, you made some promises? We talked about this several years ago. And one of the promises, correct me if I'm wrong, but you made a promise that you were going to, with just like I made a promise of marriage to my wife, and better for worse, richer or poorer, sickness and health, you made a promise to proclaim the deposit of faith, and you said that right at the altar. Am I correct?
Well, actually, Terry, the exact words in the promise are to guard the faith.
Got it.
And I like those words because guarding is something really that every pastor and every father of a family is called to do, to guard the deposit of faith. That was among many promises. One of the promises was also to respect the Petrine office. And as I've said before, the greatest respect we can offer anyone, including the Pope and the Petrine office, is to support them in the truth.
Right.
And to claim that respect means, we can allow anyone to twist the truth or to say they've changed the truth. That's simply not what Christ has told us. Mm-hmm. And that's not what guarding the deposit of faith is all about. Yes, I need to know the truth more deeply. Yeah. I'm a sinner. I'm weak. I'm not any great scholar. But knowing the truth more deeply, as the gospel, it's perfect for our conversation today. The gospel for this Wednesday of the Lenten season. Christ says he came not to change the commandments, to change the law, but to fulfill them. And we need to pay attention to the words of Christ as he speaks them and to remind ourselves this is eternal truth incarnate among us, who has taken on a human life, a human voice to speak to us. That's how much God loves us. He gave us his son to come to us, to share this truth in ways that we can understand if we will only open our hearts.
Well said. Some of the key things you said in this letter, I know this is just repetition in the sense of the fundamentals of the faith, but I love the language you used when you said, let us speak with full-throated support of the inerrancy of Scripture and proclaim that it is truly God's word. Now, Bishop Strickland, I have no idea when you were in the seminary, but most of my friends who are my age or older, when they were in the seminary, especially St. John's here in Los Angeles, they were taught, you know, this Father Raymond Brown teaching that the Bible isn't inerrant, that there are errors. And it seems to me that, you know, 30, 40, 50 years ago, this was being taught to priests, young seminarians who ended up becoming bishops and cardinals. So where did they get this? And Scott Hahn did a whole course that I have available. People go to CatholicRC.org. It's called The Inerrancy of Scripture. It's a course he taught. People would spend thousands of dollars taking the course. But I listened to it three or four times because it blew me away. I wasn't sure about the inerrancy of Scripture, but when he quotes Vatican II and he quotes all the previous documents of the church, it's very clear the church, we're supposed to read the Scriptures from faith, not from doubt. And I just think that when you brought up the inerrancy of Scripture, I think that's probably, my thumb is on it, that many bishops and even cardinals have said things like, well, the Bible, you know, really, it just got it wrong when it comes to homosexuality. Really? Our Father James Martin saying Romanism? No, that's got it all wrong. It just seems to me that that's a huge topic, is it not?
Absolutely. And I tried to me, the key issues for this moment in the church, there are many, but they come down to questions about the sanctity of life.
Yeah.
And really, to me, Terry, it's an extension of that same issue.
Yeah.
Questions about what does it mean that our lives are sacred? And the sexual aspect of our lives that is one of the most volatile aspects, but really enhances the sacred when we embrace it properly. The faculty of being sexual beings is sacred, and it's not treated that way in the world. And sadly, the church is beginning to more and more water down the teaching that's there to say, no, this has to be held to the highest of standards. Thankfully, like we talked about yesterday, God's forgiveness is always there because we fail to live the highest of standards.
Yeah.
But for the church to say, oh, you don't really have to live chastely anymore, and that's antiquated, that's a backward old idea, that isn't what Christ said, and that's not what his church in her truth proclaims.
Well said. When we come back, we'll continue to talk about the priestly letter that Bishop Strickland sent to his brother bishops, and much more here on the Bishop Strickland Hour. Stay with us, family.
And now back to the Bishop Strickland Hour.
Well said, Bishop Strickland, about the inerrancy of Scripture. What a very important topic. You also talked about a Eucharistic revival. I know that we're having this Eucharistic revival here in the United States, but I have to say this. As a layman for 45 years, I ask people this question when I go around the country, what they believe about the Mass and about the Holy Eucharist. And I mean it, 90% of the people who are walking into church, and I say, hi, I'm Terry from such, just want to ask you, what's your understanding about Christ and the Eucharist? And I can tell you, 90%, now this is anecdotal that information, but I've done it for 40-some years. They don't understand the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist. They don't understand what the Mass is. And your topic about let's get a Eucharistic revival reaches my ears. What made you want to do that? Is it because of the lack of belief that's going on today?
Absolutely. And I think certainly, that, as you said, there is an effort among the U.S. bishops to have this Eucharistic revival. But it's going to be a few days, and hopefully it'll be a beautiful celebration, but hopefully it'll just be a beginning of a Eucharistic revival that needs to happen at every Mass and at every church with a greater reverence toward Christ present in every tabernacle.
Yeah.
I mean, we need to reverse those statistics that you anecdotally speak of, 90%. Say, I'm not sure, I'm just here, whatever. It isn't about whatever, it's about the sacred presence of the Lord of the universe in our lives, in our tabernacles, at every Mass, and people need to deeply embrace this glorious truth that is the Lord present in the Eucharist, even changing our language and really developing an awe and a reverence. That's what I'm speaking of. And I think that hopefully what they're doing is a beginning, but it's only a beginning. And I guess that's what I would say, is hopefully everyone participating in the Eucharistic Revival event this summer can realize it's just a first step toward really reviving a commonly understood embrace of the truth of the Eucharist. And frankly, I think it comes down to re-examining some of our practices.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that the whole process of receiving communion is to be really looked at.
Yeah.
And how do we make it, how do we create that opportunity that this, what are we doing?
Exactly.
We are approaching the King of the universe to take him into our own bodies.
Yeah.
Real Eucharistic revival needs to emphasize
yes.
that there needs to be a little examination of conscience for every person receiving the body of the Lord before receiving him.
Yep.
The liturgy does that in a small way,
yep.
but we need to really encourage people that it just becomes the common practice that before you move toward the altar and whatever the arrangement is, before you receive the Lord in the Eucharist, that you've really asked yourself, have I been to confession recently? Am I in a state of sanctifying grace and avoiding especially serious sin?
Yeah.
And really, Terry, I think we need to develop a spirituality, and this is part of the Eucharistic revival I believe in, to really ask ourselves, you know, we're in such a, I mean, I'm an American, and maybe it's worldwide, but I know in the United States, it's like, I have a right to this, and, you know, I'm a good person, and this, I'm pretty good, and none of us has a right to this.
Exactly.
It is... to me, my favorite phrase has become, Domine non sum dignus, Lord, I am not worthy.
Yeah.
And that, in America, we, in the United States, we tend to resist that. It's like, hey, nobody's going to tell me I'm not worthy. I count. I'm good.
Right.
I'm, you know, as much deserving as anyone. But in our spirituality, I think we need to really examine that. And really, Terry, I would think it would. We would see a step in the right direction, and it probably people will say, "Ah, Bishop Strickland, he's really off track here." But I think a real Eucharistic revival, we would see fewer people receiving on every Sunday after Sunday.
Yeah,
there would be fewer, more people in church.
Mm-hmm.
The churches need to be packed, but fewer people, at least initially. Maybe we could reach the point where we're back to virtually everyone receiving. But I think part of the Eucharistic revival is to say, you know, even if I'm, thankfully, I just went to confession and I've confessed any serious mortal sin, and I believe as clearly as I can believe I'm in a state of grace. Is there another reason to just refrain out of love of the Lord, and that a spirituality that maybe goes deeper than we can even attempt right now. But I think that we need a true Eucharistic revival where I'm asking myself as a priest, I mean, to validly celebrate the Eucharist, the priest has to receive the body and blood, soul and divinity of Christ.
Amen.
That means, that doesn't mean, well, I, you know, I don't say Mass because I'm not quite ready. It means I better get ready.
Yeah.
And I'm sure I go to confession, and that we have to shepherd the flock in that way. We need to lead by doing our best to be as worthy as we can be with all the humble awareness that we can never be worthy.
Right.
And we can always validly say, Domine non sum dignus, Lord, I am not worthy. And let that awareness of our lack of worthiness encourage us to be that much more astonished and rejoicing in the wonder of grace that the Lord, through his life, death, and resurrection, has accomplished that worthiness that is beyond us. He wants us to receive him, but he wants us to do so in a way that nurtures our souls and doesn't become a further burden, because we're too far away from him to receive the grace that his body and blood, soul, and divinity offers us.
Well said. In the last couple minutes, I just like what you said about marriage being proclaimed clearly between a man and a woman. And I think of what St. John Paul II, when he wrote this letter to the families in 1994, he said, the way the family goes is the way the culture goes. So if the family's a mess right now, which it is, and there's a lot of confusion about what marriage is, between, you know, is it a man and a woman? Is it, can the guy get married to his computer, to his dog? These are the kind of questions people are asking. And in your letter, it says, wait a minute, let's don't go along with the world. Let's proclaim what the church teaches very clearly, so lay people like myself can say, ah, that's what marriage is about. That's from Jesus Christ. Thank you for doing that. Is that why you did that, because of the confusion in the world?
Absolutely. We've got to get family right.
Yeah.
We've got to get right with God. We've got to get marriage right. We've got to get families right. We've, in so many ways, we've got to rebuild this culture as an image of the body of Christ. I mean, that's what Western civilization was aiming at, never got there, and we've lost a lot of ground, but we can't give up the endeavor of living in the way that Christ has proclaimed, because his sacrifice isn't some ancient, antiquated idea that needs to be re-understood. It is the truth of the ages that God's eternal Son lived, died, and rose for us. That's the truth that we're preparing to celebrate once again at another Easter. And we need a true revival of faith in what this is all about.
Wow. Bishop Strickland, your letter is now out on your website, bishopstrickland.com. It's on our website, virginmostpowerfulradio.org. And also, we're going to put the reading of your document on our website so people can actually, sometimes, like I have friends who have bad eyes, they can't read for themselves. You can actually hear Bishop say it. You heard it on the radio today, but I want to make that available because I think the letter is much needed today. In any way you can get this out to people, I'm all for it. Could we have 1 minute. I want to give a plug one more time to your YouTube channel, Bishop Strickland's YouTube channel. Let's put Bishop Strickland, right? Isn't that how they do it on
Bishop Strickland, yep.
Okay. And then could we get a blessing for our listeners in this Lenten season, please?
Almighty God, we ask your blessing for all who are listening and participating in Virgin Most Powerful Radio, that truly we may continue to grow in humility, grow in the wondrous truth you have revealed to us through truth incarnate that is your Son, and that we may embrace the rest of this Lenten journey as an opportunity to be revived in faith, to grow closer to the sacred heart of your Son, and to be beneficiaries of the intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary and all the saints. And we ask this blessing in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you so much, Bishop Strickland. I want to give everybody an update on the Spiritual Warfare Conference. Bishop Strickland will be here in the was it 13th, 14th of March at St. Joseph's Church in Pomona. You want to register. We're packed. We can't have any more physical people there, but we can have you there to watch the video of the talks right at the time of the talks. And all you got to do is go to vmpr.org, click on conferences, register for the conference. I don't care if you're in, you know, Ohio or, you know, anywhere in Europe, anywhere in Asia, you can watch the event. Not only watch it, you own it. You can share it with your friends. I always make a suggestion at the Spiritual Warfare Conference, call your friends over and show one of the talks for like 6 weeks in a row and then discuss it. And that's how what we're going to be doing next month in March. So go to vmpr.org. bishopstrickland.org to register for the Spiritual Warfare Conference. Also, I want to personally thank everybody who supports us here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Quick note, if you give us $25 or more, you get to get all these resources I have at our CatholicRC.org website, downloadable stuff that goes to you from Dr. Hahn and many other great men. Thanks so much. If you go to vmpr.org, if you need to call me for any reason, I give my cell number out. What? Yep, 661-972-7872. Thanks so much for joining us here on the Bishop Strickland Hour on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. May God richly bless you and your family. And thanks again for giving us an opportunity to proclaim the gospel.